Good day, friends. It's good to greet you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus in an outstanding sermon. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of its things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is a part of the sermon that Jesus preached that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And on the broadcast last week, we began by talking about Jesus delivering this sermon that included the so-called Beatitudes, and we dealt especially with the fifth chapter of Matthew in verse 44, where he began by saying, "Love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you, bless them that curse you," and of course the point was to be concerned about those who might even persecute you. Realizing that our spiritual growth determines upon what our attitude not alone will be toward God, but toward our fellow man. And then as this sermon continues today, by Jesus saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," we are dealing with the priorities. And I believe here's a very practical teaching for our present day. I find as I go about the country preaching the gospel that one of the great needs in the lives of people is to realize what type of priorities must be a part of their life. You know, we have a problem many, many times in the lives of people who are conscientious and sincere. The things that they're doing with their family may all be within the right of that which is within the realm of that which is good and right. But the point is that sometimes the church kind of gets put down at the bottom. The assemblies, the activities of the church, being voluntary, are those things sometimes that come behind other activities that within themselves may be good and may be upright. So we're trying to focus an emphasis on the broadcast today upon those things which should be first in our life. We realize that Jesus gave teaching here that would indicate to us what is paramount and what must hold the so-called pole position in our life each day. You know, when I think about the circumstance of life, I think of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and realizing that we have an obligation to carry out as Jesus taught the first and great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the second that is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now he said on these two hang the law and the prophets. But this is principal teaching that's just as valid on this side of the cross as it was before Jesus died upon the cross. You recall when James was defining pure religion, which we understand to be Christianity, he wrote in James 1:27 that pure religion and that which is undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Notice the idea of keeping ourselves unspotted from the world is that which certainly discharges a responsibility to God. He must be first in our life. And visiting or caring for the fatherless and widows is a good example of the criteria that was set in motion by the Savior, realizing that we have an obligation to our fellow man, loving our neighbor as ourself, in discharging that which James also calls as the royal law. So what we're saying to you on this broadcast today is that I believe it's good for each family to take a due consideration of what must hold the top position. As far as the Lord's Day is concerned, we realize the disciples were encouraged not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. They were also encouraged to come together upon the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread, to give as they were prospered, according to 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, upon the first day of the week, to pray, to sing, to teach, and to enjoy the wonderful fellowship that's in Christ Jesus. So let's keep in mind the contact we have with God in prayer, the contact we have with his word daily in our life, and then the contact with our brethren, those who are in the church, and people in the world who are about us, that we can render, as Jesus has taught, a good responsibility being discharged toward them. So I do want to emphasize that you keep this before your mind, that you're not putting other activities ahead of the work of the Lord. You see, long after your family is raised and have gone out into the world to seek their fortune, unless there has been an emphasis placed upon spiritual things, then what will take the precedent in their life? I realize this is a serious situation. We're not telling you that we, as we talk to you on this station, have the answer to the question. We're not using ourselves as a criteria, but we're offering a teaching that I think down deep in the hearts of many Christians they realize to be true. Don't put other things ahead of the work of the church, ahead of the work for the Lord. This can have repercussions, not alone in your own life as parents and as grandparents, but it can have repercussions in the lives of your little ones who are like the proverbial blotter that take in everything that they see and that they hear. Let them be told that the work of the Lord must be first in their life. So if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things about us are going to fall into place. I'm led to believe with this same principle in mind that this must have been the idea that Jesus had in mind when He came to this earth. He had a sincere desire to do the will of His Father. And I am sure that when Christ came, that He realized that one sin would have certainly made Him unfit to take our sins to the cross. And so He had to live a perfect life. And what's the one thing He must have had in mind? Of first doing the will of His Father, and then realizing that everything else would fall into its proper place. So we want to say on the broadcast today that even though we could deal with many facets of this great subject that's in this Sermon on the Mount, for He talks about the good tree bearing forth good fruit. He talks about there not being a contrast in our life and attempting to sow to the flesh and reap to the Spirit. You know, He says in a very definite way in verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He says, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but his corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And then He says in a very definite way, "Not everyone that you saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Of course, there are those who will claim to be following Him, and He offers a warning in verse 22 of chapter 7. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This would seem to be a contrast here, but it shows us that the religion of Jesus Christ is not that which can simply be put into the words of our mouth. Getting back to the idea of priority, if we talk a good religion, if we say that we believe in the Lord, and I've found people sometimes that I've been told before I met them that they were dyed-in-the-wool people. They were truthful to the Lord. But I found a lot of times in examining their lives more closely, and I'm not trying to be hypercritical now, but in examining their life more closely, I found that most of their religion wasn't what they said. There were other things that took precedent in their life over Jesus Christ. They wanted to be recognized as a member of the church. They wanted to be thought upon as those who had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they didn't follow through. They were like James, saying that they had faith, but they used their faith in a way that was wrong. They placed emphasis upon the Lord by what they said, just like the man who had the individual come to his house, who needed clothing, and who needed food. And all he said was, "Be warmed and filled," but he failed to do the thing that was needed. James said by inspiration, "What did this man's faith, or what did this practice accomplish?" So we're offering teaching that may be looked upon as you listen to the broadcast today as being hardline teaching. But I believe that's the thing that's needed in the lives of people today. You know, people who are not Christians are looking at your life and my life. And if they see we're just talking a good religion, but we're not backing it up with the proper deeds, then truly they will look upon us as the type of people who want to go to heaven, who want to be recognized as God's children, but perhaps do not have enough faith to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to get into this last principle that is offered here by Jesus in this seventh chapter, and I might suggest to you for just a moment that when we're attempting to teach someone how to prepare a sermon outline, we always point out that a good thing to have in mind is what you're going to begin with and what you're going to close with. The climax or the conclusion of an exhortation is the thing that must be kept in mind to leave the thought with the listening audience. In the 24th verse of this 7th chapter, Jesus says in a very definite way, a story tells us a story that is outstanding. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now there's a picture that's very beautiful as it covers those two verses. A man who heard the sayings of Jesus and did them must be likened unto a wise master builder. He had the idea of building a house, but he also considered the foundation upon which he was going to place that house. And when that house was completed, it stood the test, as some people have said, with the rain testing the roof, the winds testing the side, and the floods testing the foundation. A glorious picture, but that isn't the whole story. Notice what the 26th verse says. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine. So if you are somewhat astonished at what we're saying as broadcast today, and I don't know whether you are or not, keep in mind that they were astonished at what Jesus had to offer. What we're talking about when we talk about the wise man and the foolish man is indicative of all who listen to this broadcast today. You either are a wise man or a foolish man. You're not wise in this case because whether you know or do not know that you ought to build something in this life. I like to think of this as our life that we're building. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 20 of Christians that they were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But you see, the thing that must be considered here is that the wise man did not just think about building a house. He not alone thought about building it, he thought about building it in the right place. And this would be truly upon the solid rock, which would be equivalent to what we just mentioned in Ephesians 2 and 20. He built that, put into it the material that was needed to make a completed structure. And this man was like the individual who heard what Jesus had to say and followed it. Now, I'm sure that in his life of following what Jesus had to say, he must not have always known why, but he knew what. He knew what Jesus wanted. He knew what Jesus had asked of him. But the sad commentary is the other man, who also knew that he should build a house, was a foolish man because he built it upon something other than a solid foundation. He may have put more into that house than even the wise man, because when it fell, it didn't fall because of inferior material in the structure, but it fell because it was founded upon the sand. So the thought I want to leave with you on the broadcast today, maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're thinking about being a Christian, but go all the way. Consider what the Lord has said and indeed have enough faith to do exactly what he has asked. We hope that we have not provoked you, but provoked your thinking on this broadcast today. We trust this can be a benefit to you and to me, that it will strengthen our souls. If we're not Christians, teach us to be Christians. If we are in Christ's body, the church, let's be genuine from the core. Be with us for the broadcast next time. Tell your friends and neighbors about this, and keep in mind that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services. May God bless us all as we obey that wonderful truth.